If you believe Lord is in this place, and I really mean what I'm asking, and he wants to speak to you, would you say amen?
Amen.
So if you could just turn to your neighbors, just tell them, just in case he's here and he wants to speak to the church, could you tell your neighbors? The title of the message for today, if you could just look at it, it's such an exciting topic. I see people yarning already. Such an exciting topic. This is the most exciting topic in Christian life for me personally. Send out laborers into his harvest. Look at it carefully, people. Send out laborers into his harvest. Harvest is plentiful, is a reality. In fact, as I was meditating throughout this week, that is the truth because Jesus has spoken it. Could you picture that? Have you ever pictured it? Harvest is plentiful. That's not something you pray when you pray for missions work. That's the truth. Harvest is plentiful. Have you ever pictured that? But workers are few. That's the dynamic. However, amazing thing is, God is never delayed, would not lose one soul because there's not enough laborers. Now think about it, people, because it'll speak to your hearts if you do. Harvest is plentiful, but workers are always few, but he's never behind his schedule. 2025, he's going to have to save the people who's going to need to be saved in 2025 before they die. What if they die without coming to Christ if they were to call to be the people of God? That'll never happen. Send out laborers into his harvest, and sending is God's work. And the word sent out is, in Latin, mission. Mission, okay? So, missions is God's work. Did you know that? I'm sharing something very significant. People think it's like the church does for the summer. That's missions work. No, it's not. Our God is a missionary God. If you know him, you would... That's the most important thing that I learned when I was about college student, and my life followed that truth. How about you? If our God is a missionary God, if you are not part of that, then you are not really walking or obeying him. Okay? If the Great Commission is for Christians and the church, if you are not being part of that, you are not living in obedience. Let me just provoke you a little bit. A lot of times people kind of try to put a lot of different church activities to substitute that. You can't do that, okay? Missions is God's work, and our God is a missionary God, and it is God's mission, okay? Mission of Christ, and that's what history is. That's what history is. History belongs to the Lord. Could you think with me? History belongs to the Lord. I think that put things into perspective, your life. You tend to think you are the most important person in the world. You know, I did too, of course. But when I met the Lord, the great God, I realized, no, I'm not the greatest person. I am not, actually. Okay? History belongs to the Lord, and God's history is redemption history. That's what history is about, from Genesis to Revelation. That is why, if you are to interpret Scripture, it has to preach through Christ. Everywhere, Genesis to Revelation. Do you follow that? So I just want to give you this big picture. And I pray that it'll awaken your soul, and Pray that you'll change your life. You know, we completed chapter 8 and 9 in Matthew, and we spent about 59 weeks. That's a significant amount of time. I don't know what you've been learning, what the Lord has speaking to your heart. If nothing has been happening in your heart, 59 weeks. Something significant is happening in my heart. I see the kingdom lens, seeing everything through kingdom, gospel of kingdom, which implies that there is a king. Do you have a king in your life? How many of you have king in your life? Would you say amen?
Amen.
Rest of you, you are the king of your own life. That's exactly what the scripture says. If Jesus is not the king of your life, you are the king of your own life. And that's why you need to come to Christ. Okay? So we completed chapter 8 and 9, section where author is displaying the power and authority of the kingdom. It's an amazing authority if you put your mind into it. You know why you're not amazed? Because you're not listening. That's why it doesn't change you. Someone who has authority over all sicknesses. We have some medical personnel here. That's impossible. All sicknesses. Someone who has the authority over all demonic power, evil spirit, and Satan. Period. This spirit, in fact, trembled before him, begging him to do something for them. Do you remember that? Not only that, he has authority over all nature. Like, what are we talking about? If you're not impressed with that, I don't think you're listening. I don't think you're listening, people. Someone who has absolute authority over nature and history, I would add. And he has authority over sin and death. Power to forgive and raising the dead. That is the authority of the kingdom. Or should I say the king. And last week, we looked at the last two miracles of chapter 8 and 9, and that is Jesus opening the eyes of this blind man and opening the mouth of this mute who could not speak because he was demon oppressed. And that's not only the evidences of the fact that Jesus is the Messiah, but I explained that it is a description of what happens to you if you meet Jesus. Is your eyes open? Is your eyes open? If your eyes are open, what do you see? What do you suppose to see? That's a good question, isn't it? Is your eyes open? Is your mouth open? What do you suppose to say when you meet Jesus? Right? I don't think, I cannot picture that lady who had a sickness of bleeding disorder for years, and it touched the the edge of his cloak, and she was healed. And I don't think I can't even picture she would stop talking about him. How about you? Has your mouth been opened? I'm really asking you. Otherwise, what is your Christianity? What do you believe? You have to really think about these questions. We spent 59 weeks, people. That's a significant amount of time. Okay? That's exactly what happens when you meet Jesus. Your eyes are opened and your mouth is opened. That's the description of what happens to a Christian who truly meet Jesus. Truly meet Jesus. Okay? We'll talk about that. When your eyes are open, what are you supposed to see? We're going to see that you're going to see the harvest. How many of you see harvest? I'm really asking this question. If you don't, you're according to scripture, you're blind. You are blind. Your eyes are opened, but blind. That's exactly what it is. Today, we begin a new section. It's an incredibly different section. You know, I've been thinking about this section. We just completed a major section into Matthew, and now we're starting a new section. And one of the distinctives of Matthew's gospel is that it has discourses, five or six major discourses. very, very important. Jesus is teaching, very important teaching. Chapter 5 through 7, we know the Sermon on the Mount. We just completed that. And then chapter 10, we are starting today, which is Jesus sending out or missioning his disciples. Chapter 13 is the parable of the kingdom. Chapter 18, there's another discourse. Chapter 23 is the seven woes of religious people. Woe to you, you religious people. You are fake. Right? And chapter 24 and 25 is what we studied together in Africa just a few weeks ago, Olivet Discourse, where Jesus is teaching about the end and return of Christ. And if you're not impressed with that, maybe you're not listening. You're not listening. Okay? So, we just completed the first major section before we're moving on to the new section, and now we're sort of like transitioning section. That's exactly what we are reading. That whole section about harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And then what happens? Something amazing happens. A new chapter happens. Up to this point, Jesus come into the world. He did everything. He proclaimed, he taught, and he healed, miracles, everything. Now, chapter 10, amazing thing happens. Now he missions his disciples to go and do the same thing. New chapter. New chapter. And I'm so excited about that. Anybody excited about that? Would you say amen?
Amen.
I don't know about you. Like, look up here. Look up. If you're not excited about that, I pray that your eyes may be opened. Your eyes may be opened. As Matthew finishes the section of Jesus' kingdom authority, transitioning into this new discourse in chapter 10, where Jesus missioning, sending out, that's a very, very important word, because God is our God is a missionary God. Missionary God. Pay attention. Missionary God. What about you? If Jesus is God of your life, Lord of your life, you will be part of that mission. There's no exception. You know, I was thinking about it. You know, we've been saying, if Great Commission is to Christians, if you don't obey Great Commission, then what are you doing? Disobeying. Or Jesus is not the Lord of your life. Let's make that very clear. If the Great Commission or Great Commission to the church and Christians is what Jesus calls his Christian to do. If you're not part of it, then what are you doing? Either you're not Christian or you're not obeying. So what kind of life is that then? So I want you to think about this. And in this transitioning section, here's what he describes. Jesus went through all the cities and the villages and the summary of his ministry, teaching in synagogues, and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. What is the difference between teaching and proclamation or preaching? Preaching demands your response. Repent, kingdom of heaven is near. If you don't respond, you're not listening. Proclamation demands your response. Would you respond? Some of you, maybe if you could respond. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Would you say amen if you want to? And the rest of you are resisting. You're not responding. He's proclaiming it. Do you see the difference? And then there's a healing of the gospel of the kingdom and healing of every disease and every affliction. So it is basically three things: teaching, preaching, and healing. That's Jesus' ministry. And all the sicknesses and all the afflictions is root cause is sin. And if you are saved, and if Jesus becomes the Lord of your life, save your life, and all these things will be happening to you. So that's the summary, and we saw exactly same word in chapter 4 when Jesus begins the ministry. Now he's transitioning into new section. He goes through that again. And then it says, so he was doing that, and when Jesus saw the crowd, he's looking at the crowd, looking at you. the crowd, and he had compassion. I love that expression. I'm totally reminded of when Israelites were in Egyptian slavery, God saw them, had compassion on them. I've been teaching attributes of God to African pastors for the last whole year, two semesters, 25 subjects. One of the topic is called mercy of God, compassion of God. That's something that flows from God. You do not have compassion. You don't. You and I don't have compassion. God, it's God's quality. And the word, interestingly, in Hebrew word, the mercy and the compassion in Greek here is similar. It has the root meaning of bowel, your intestines. Okay? I guess the ancient people really expressed their emotion through how their body reacts. Can you imagine God's intestine stomach turning because he has compassion on you? When he saw the crowd, he felt it right here. Like, I think the best picture is when you see your own child go wayward and heading toward really, really deep into darkness. Can you imagine the parents' heart? Okay, I don't think that'll do the justice, but intestine turning. Jesus saw, and his intestine, his bowel was turning. Had compassion on them. How about you? Do you see crowd? Do you see harvest? I'm really asking you, do you see harvest? What do you see every day then? You see something, right? Until God opens your eyes, all you see is you. Right? That's why you're blind. Bible says that's why you're blind. All you see is you. You're upset about your boss. You're upset about your job. You're upset about life situation. You're upset about your family situation. You're upset about your parents. You're upset about your spouse. You're just upset. All you see is you. You don't see the harvest. But amazingly, when he saw the crowd, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless. Could you look at that description? Harassed and helpless. The word harassed has the connotation and the meaning of skinned. People are skinned. They were lacerated. They were harassed. Can you picture that? People are living like that. And the word helpless has the meaning of casting repeatedly, just throwing down in life. By whom? By your husband, by your wife, by your child, by your siblings, by your work, by government. No, by the devil himself. And Jesus sees that. What's the problem? Sin. That's why Jesus come to seek and save the lost sinners. And he sees the people are harassed and helpless. Do you see that? I see that. People are not happy. People feel empty. People are not happy with their marriage. People are not happy with their jobs. People are not happy with their life, period. In fact, they are deeply angry, deeply empty, deeply tired. Remember the woman with the bleeding disorder? Can you imagine how tired she was with life? And some of you look like that. You do look tired. I don't see much life in you. Jesus saw them, had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like the sheep without a shepherd. Now that's a very important expression, isn't it? Like a sheep without a shepherd. What does that mean? Sheep is an animal which represents the people of God in the Bible all over the place, especially in the Old Testament. And sheep is an animal, is a herbivore, but very slow. That's a very bad combination. Okay, herbivores need to be fast to survive. They eat grass, they graze, and they cannot really fight. But so the only way they could is they need to spot their predators, and they have to run. But they can't do that, which means without a shepherd, you are dead meat. That's That's what it is. And on top of that, sheep are very, very low IQ animals. Isn't it interesting? Bible says, you are like sheep, and God is the shepherd. The sheep gets lost all the time. Do you follow? So without a shepherd, Jesus saw the crowd. Jesus saw you, saw the crowd, and basically had compassion. His bow was turning because you are harassed and helpless like a sheep without a shepherd. Could you picture that? When your eyes open, you see that. You see that. Interestingly, that expression, sheep without a shepherd, is a very, very important expression because we see it in Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34 is before the hope section begins in Ezekiel 36. The Israelites were terrible. They were disobedient to God, and they were just not obeying him. So God had to send a judgment, which is the love of God. Because without that judgment, there is no repentance, and there is no chance of life. So he sends Babylonians and take and destroy the country and take Israelites to captivity for 70 years. 70 years, people, for them to repent. So judgment of God is the love of God. So it is that kind of era before the hope message begins in chapter 36. There is a section in chapter 34 where it speaks about the shepherd of Israel. Shepherd of Israel. What's that? Shepherd, pastors of Israel. Pastors of Israel. There's a section that God speaks to the pastors of Israel. Listen to this carefully. Okay. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel, to the shepherds. Thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourself, should not shepherd feed the sheep? You ate the fat, you clothed yourself with wool, and you slaughtered the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. Shepherds, pastors, do not feed the sheep. Can I just ask you, what do pastors need to feed the sheep? Word of God. So Jesus is using this expression in the New Testament time, but he's describing what happened 600 years ago and in the Old Testament time. Old Testament time, New Testament time, sheep without a shepherd, which means pastors are not feeding the word of God. Is that something new? It's absolutely not. Okay, let me continue. Verse 4, you, the weak, you have not strengthened. And injured, you have not bound up. Strayed, you have not brought them back. The lost, you have not sought. But with force and harshness, you have been ruling them. In other words, shepherds are not feeding. They're not taking care of them. And they are just using the brutal force and all kinds of burdens. Does this sound familiar? That's exactly what it looked like in the New Testament time when Jesus came. What about now? Jim Boyce is someone who passed maybe 30, 40 years ago. He's my teacher, and he's an evangelical leader, scholar, pastor of 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia. And this is what he wrote. The people he saw were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And the reason they were helpless is that they did not know the Bible. Why? Because shepherds do not feed them. Because you do not know. Right? So, is that why? And then he explains. They should have known it. They had possessed the Old Testament for centuries. Right? In Jesus' time, they had Bible for centuries. But their teachers should have been teaching it to them. But they were like people today. They had not been taught. And they did not have the inclination to seek out Bible truth themselves. In other words, In the Old Testament time, it's like the shepherd who's not feeding the sheep. In the New Testament time, in Jesus' time, they're not feeding the Word of God to the people. And Jim Boyce is saying, right now, we're doing the same thing. That's why people are like sheep without a shepherd, harassed and helpless. That's why your life is so ruined. That's why you're directionless. That's why there is no real purpose of getting up in the morning and living for something that matters. That's why worship is like without any passion. And then Jim Boyce continues. What they needed to know through the teaching of the Bible is what Jesus certainly taught them, who God is, who you are as a sinner. And how much, when you see God and you, there's a good place to be. You see sin, and you see the need of a Savior. That's what Jim Boyce is saying, what Jesus thought, who God is, what God made us to be, how we have fallen short of God's righteousness and corrupted his image within us, and how we need a Savior who can save us from sin and from ourselves. So what is he saying, basically? We are just like the Jesus' time, just like the Old Testament time, Ezekiel time. We are like sheep without a shepherd because you do not know the Bible and the scripture, because the shepherds are not feeding you. Ezekiel continues in verse 5, so you have scattered. So what's the result, outcome of a shepherd not feeding? They will be scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. My sheep were scattered all over the face of the earth with none to search and seek for them. Wow. As I'm reading it, I begin to see hope. Because that's exactly what Jesus came to do. Seek and save what was lost. He's the good shepherd who came to seek and save what was lost. His word is the truth to feed the people. Amen. Without Jesus, you're like sheep without a shepherd. You are scattered all over the face of the earth, and basically you are harassed. You've been slain and skinned. You've been pounded and casted in life, hopeless and harassed, and that's the picture. My sheep were scattered all over the face of the earth, Ezekiel 34. That's why we need to see the harvest. They're all over the earth, not only in Africa. We talk a lot about Africa in this church, but there are people who are lost in America. There are people who are lost here in this room. In this room. Look at you. You're yawning. Yawning. And no one is searching to seek for them. You know, Jesus came to seek and save what was lost. Remember the parable of Luke 15? Leaving the 99 behind, and he goes after one lost sheep. Right? And remember the teaching in John chapter 10? I am the good shepherd. Good shepherd lay down his life for his sheep. He is the good shepherd. Can I just ask you a question? Do you have a shepherd? That's a real question. Of course, Jesus needs to be your shepherd, but do you have a shepherd in your life? Do you have a pastor in your life? I'm really asking you this question because there are a lot of freelancers, and they are independent. They're not Republicans or Democrats. They're independent. I don't belong to any church. I heard even people say, people who are doing a pastoral search of a large church on one elder said, it doesn't matter who, what kind of pastor comes, I'll take care of my faith. That's foolishness. Let me just tell you, that's foolishness. Do you have a shepherd who's feeding you and trusting you? That's a question you need to answer. There's a different kind of shepherd we see in Acts chapter 20. I love this chapter. Well, Paul knew he was about to be arrested, and he's going to go to Rome, and eventually to be executed. He knew he was going to be arrested. So he was saying goodbye to the elders, shepherds of Ephesian church. Remember Acts chapter 22? It's a great chapter. I love that chapter. And I pray that you will read it carefully. And that's the chapter where he says, I consider my life worth nothing unless I finish the race and complete the task that God has given me, which is to testify to the gospel of God's grace. Something I've been memorizing for the last 30 years. My life is worth nothing. And this is what he said to the elders or the shepherds of Ephesian church in Acts chapter 20. Listen to this. Very, very different than Ezekiel 34. He's telling the elders, pay careful attention to yourself, elders, and to all the flock which Holy Spirit has made you overseers or elders. You know who raised up elders in the church? Holy Spirit. God does. And what is the calling of the elders? To oversee and feed and take care of the flock. To care for the church of God, which he obtained through his own blood. That's what the church is. That's what the church is. Church is not the building. Church is not everybody. Church is those people who are in Christ. Are you in Christ? And I really mean this. I'm not disrespecting you. Church of God is not the building. Church of God is not the crowd. Church of God is the one that Jesus bought with his own blood. Amen? I pray that you will come to Christ. Every single one of you. Every single one of you. You're yearning and you're tired. Something is not right with you. You're off. You're blind. Because if your eyes are open, you will see the harvest. You will see what Jesus saw. Okay? Jesus said in John chapter 21 to Peter. Remember? John chapter 21 is the last chapter of John's gospel and probably the last chapter of the New Testament. I'm arguing. Because John wrote Revelations and Gospel of John as the last books in the canon of the Bible. If that is the case, chapter 21, which is the last chapter of John's gospel, is the last episode of the New Testament. What is that chapter about? Jesus coming to Peter, who disowned him three times miserably, failed. And Jesus comes to one person, Peter, and basically asks this question, do you love me? Do you love me? Would you answer to the Lord, to yourself, do you love me? That's what Christians do. Yes, Lord. And then what did Jesus say? Feed my lamb. Sounds like a shepherd thing to do. But I'm not a pastor. Well, you don't have to be a pastor. If you've been feeding yourself with the word of God, I really believe if there is Christ in you, you would want to share Christ. If you agree with me, would you say amen? Amen. I really argue. If you have Christ, would you not preach Christ? It's a rhetorical question, people. If you have Christ, would you not preach Christ? If this Christ has opened your eyes like that, like woman with a bleeding disorder, would you not talk about him? Of course you will. Would you not open your mouth and talk about it? You probably wouldn't stop talking about him. Do you see that? Feed my lamb, take care of my sheep. Feed what? Word of God, isn't it? Because a lot of shepherds do not feed their flock. They feed themselves and feed off of you. That's what the scripture is saying. Later, many years later, that Peter, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2, he tells the other elders, shepherd the flock of God, elders, that is among you, by being example to them through your life. Right? And then he said, when the chief shepherd appears, when Christ returns, Christ is described as the chief shepherd. Isn't it interesting? He's the good shepherd. Seek and save what was lost. And you will receive the crown of glory. Okay? So Jesus saw the crowd. Jesus saw, had compassion. And Jesus was moved. And then something very, very interesting happens. Now, this week, as I was meditating this, something that I've never saw before. He's the one who saw. He had no compassion, but he's going to tell his disciples to pray. What is that dynamic? Now, think with me. Stay up, okay? He saw the crowd, and he felt the compassion because they were harassed and helpless, like a sheep without shepherd. He has trouble. He has a compassion. Now he tells his disciples to do something. What is that dynamic? What did Jesus tell them to do? Pray earnestly to the Lord of harvest. Listen carefully. You pray earnestly to the Lord of harvest to send out laborers into his work. Isn't that interesting? That's what he's doing. That's what he came to do. That's what he feels, and he feels the compassion. But now he's telling his disciples, you, me, you pray earnestly to the Lord of harvest to send out mission laborers into his harvest. Now, I find that such a strange dynamic. It's something he feels, so instead of him doing something, now he's telling you and the disciples to do something. What is he doing? Why would he tell you to pray that God, Lord of harvest, will send out workers into his harvest? Why would he do that? Because he wants to answer your prayer. That's his plan, but he wants to answer your prayer. He could totally bypass that, but instead of bypassing that, he's telling you to pray. Why? Why? Because when you pray, guess what's going to happen? You would want to be sent out. Do you see that? This is amazing. People, a lot of things, we need to pray for laborers. No. It's not saying that. Listen to Jesus carefully. I feel the compassion. My bowel is turning because people are skinned and people are lacerated and they've been cast down and they're so lost, so hopeless and harassed. And I feel compassion. So you pray. Isn't that interesting? You pray that the Lord of harvest. Do you realize mission is God's work and the harvest is God's work? Would you say amen? So I don't have to be anxious about anything. I just need to be faithful to the Word of God, relying upon the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't have to be anxious about this congregation. I don't. Although I constantly think of you. I do, actually. And some people ask me, when you stand in a pulpit, when you look at the people, what do you see? And my answer is, probably a lot more than what you think. Probably a lot more than what you think. I look at your expression. I look at your attitudes. I do, actually. I'm not God. Obviously, I don't see everything. But I do see it. You're yearning and you're turning. And, you know, not a good sign, right? Do you follow? I look at you. Are you eagerly listening? Or look like you're given up already? Some of you look given up already. I'm being honest with you. It's going to be the same thing. When I greet in the back, you're going to treat me like someone in the subway. A lot of people do that. They check their phone. Oh, you're there? Okay. I shake. They don't even stop. I know, people. Jesus saw, felt the compassion. Now he's telling his disciples. Why? Because he's going to send them out. That's exactly what happens in chapter 10. Do you see in chapter 10? What does Jesus do? He calls these disciples to himself. Do you catch it? And give them the authority. Whoa, what does that mean? Give them the authority. I give this illustration. Can someone who has the authority just give to someone? Not really. Let's say John looks confused. Let me use Elder John. I used to practice dentist, so I know a lot of dental, I guess, like knowledge and skill. I have that authority. Can I give it to him? Absolutely not. I can't do that. But Jesus gives that authority to heal and cast out demons and sicknesses and all kinds of authority. Why? Because he's God. Because he's God. That's what ministry is. And that's what church is. That's what missions work is. When we go to Africa, when we do missions at Stony Brook University, the authority has been entrusted to me through the power of the scripture and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
I hope you know what I'm talking about. Some of you do not know what it means. Until you begin to preach the truth, you don't know what that authority means. Okay? So interesting. Jesus, the Messiah, Christ, he sees that harvest is plentiful and workers are few. And that's what you're going to see when your eyes are opened. Do anybody see the harvest? Would you say amen?
Amen.
And the rest of you don't see it. All you see is your house, baby, vacation, food. But you don't see the harvest. He commands his followers to pray earnestly to the Lord of harvest. And Jesus, excuse me, God is the Lord, Kyrios, of harvest. He's harvesting. I just told you, harvest is plentiful, workers are few, but he never misses anyone. He will never miss anyone. In 2025, many people will die in the world. But if they are called, they will come to Christ before they die. Do you see that? He will not miss. All the Father has given me, I will not lose none. Jesus said clearly. And the word send out laborers into his harvest. That's an amazing word. Sending, the Latin word is mission. In other words, Jesus is missioning. That's what God did to Jesus. God sent his son. God sent mission Jesus, and Jesus missioned his followers. Very, very important theology. Missions is not something you do in the summer by going to Africa. Missions is something you do with your life. You're being sent out. I've been sharing this. Anybody without Christ is a mission field right in this room. You are a mission field. You are so used to disobedience. Many of you are. You hear it, but you don't obey it. Yeah, I agree, but you don't obey it. And you get used to disobedience. I hope you listen today. And those with Christ are missionaries. Those without Christ are mission field. Amen?
Amen.
Look at each other. A lot of mission field and missionaries mixed together in this room. Okay, a lot of missionaries and mission field. I want to close. This is transitioning into new era, new chapter of the kingdom dynamic. Up to this point, it was all Jesus. Now he's entrusting to his people, his followers, his church. That's what church is. That's what church is. God sent his son. God missioned his son into the world to seek after the lost scattered sheep of his. Now Jesus is sending his people by giving him the authority and then sending them out with the same authority, with the same message. And I hope you get this dynamic. That's what the life is about. If you take this out and try to do Christianity, you are not obeying him. Let me make it very clear, you're not obeying him. Because without obeying the Great Commission, you cannot possibly say, I'm living the life of obedience. Amen? There are a lot of Bible studies going on here that I do not know about. What are you talking about? You know, we've been doing AOG class, Attribute of God class, and discipleship in this church. And I find out that I'm doing Bible study with my old college friend that I met in Penn Station. I just bump into him. We ended up talking about, do you want to study Bible? They haven't seen each other for years, but that's what the conversation go into. Why? Because that's where their heart is. And there are Bible studies that is going on that I do not know about. In this congregation, with the people who do not know Christ, seeking after the lost scattered sheep of Israel. That's happening. Feed my lamb. Are you feeding someone? How many of you are feeding someone? Are you feeding someone? Jesus said, if you love me, feed my lamb. You are being fed every day, I hope, with the word of God. If you are fed every day, if you don't feed anyone, what's going to happen to you? You're going to pop. You're going to get so fed, your legs, you won't be able to, your tummy will touch the ground. And you get the picture? Are you feeding someone? If you love me, feed my lamb. Harvest is plentiful. Could you picture that? That's a reality, people. If you don't see it, you're blind. You're blind. Lord, allow me to see that when I was graduating from college. I see it more clearly now than ever. Harvest is plentiful and workers are few. I've been in pastorate ministry about almost 40 years now, and workers are few. Are you a worker? Would you look at me? Are you a worker? Would you want to be a worker for the kingdom? Would you say amen?
Amen.
I say it this way. You may gain the whole world. If you miss this, you lose everything. You may gain the whole world. You lose this, I think you lose everything. You lose everything. Okay. Let me close with this statement. But the Lord of harvest is at work. He's the Lord of harvest. And we know he's not going to lose anybody. So he's going to complete. Do you follow? I hope you see the kingdom dynamic. Harvest is plentiful. Workers are few. But he's asking his followers, pray to the Lord of harvest to send out workers, laborers into his harvest. Why? Because he wants to answer that. He's going to send out workers into his harvest. And who's going to be the workers? Those who obey and pray. That's exactly what we're going to see in chapter 10. Those who obey and pray. Does anybody want to obey and pray? Can you say amen?
Amen.
I pray that you'll be courageous. Otherwise, you're going to live like a coward. Coward. Look at me, people. You're going to live like a religious coward. And you will be shepherds, not feeding your flock and congregation. Woe is you if you do that. God is saying, woe is you if you do that. We are called to feed the congregation with the truth and the word of God. And he will do the rest. Amen? Amen? He will do the rest. God will raise up church in Stony Brook University. It may seem slow in your eyes, like in numerically speaking, although it is not that bad. It may seem slow in East Africa, but God's going to carry out his work. Our God is a missionary God. He's the one who's sending out. He's the one who's doing the missions. And I pray that you will be obedient and courageous enough to pray so that God may send you and show you grace. Let's pray together. Let's pray.